And I think as we study through this, we're going to be able to understand a little better why we have the struggle that we do, why we are involved in a spiritual war, and by this we will be able to, I think, better be equipped to fight the battle that we're in. In Genesis chapter 1, the nature of a man, man is created in God's image. Now watch the text. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his image, in his own image, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now I want you to note several things in this text. Number one, we were created in the likeness of God. And so as Jesus was the image of the Father and the exact representation of the Father, we too look like the Father. We were made in his image. And in the state in which man was created, and as he was given a fleshly body, in that state, we were like God. We only knew good. Didn't know evil. And it wasn't until the fall, we'll talk about that a little later, it wasn't until the fall that man come to know evil. But in our original created state, not only did we not know evil, but we were a very spiritual person, and we were in charge of everything. God gave us authority over all of the earth. He gave us authority over all of the creatures of the earth. We ruled over the beasts of the earth. We were the masters as we lived here on this earth. But that all changed when man fell from his master, God. Now, let me see here. Forgot this one. Yes. Yeah, and why?
I think it's God and Jesus and the Spirit all three.
Amen. It's interesting as God is a triune God, man is a triune being. And we look at God, and as we define God to the best of our ability to understand him, it simply means that this word Elohim that you're talking about in the book of Genesis chapter 1 is a plural word, and it is referring to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the definition of the word, the plural of the Old Testament, gods in the ordinary sense, but specifically used in the plural, thus especially with the article of the Supreme God, occasionally applied by way of deference to magistrates and sometimes as to superlative. And so when we get to the text where he says God created man, let us create man in our image. Now all of a sudden we're getting a picture of the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all together and all were involved in the creation of the earth. And Jesus, it says in Genesis chapter 1, that nothing was created that he did not create. And so he was acting, and the Father was speaking, and the Holy Spirit was moving up on the earth. And even Jesus, when he came to earth and took on a body like us, took on our nature, he was miraculously conceived through the Holy Spirit and was given a physical body through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we are spiritual beings created to be just like God, created to look and act and live just like God. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. Now, in reference to that, the whole idea of image here is from an unusual or unused root meaning to shade, a phantom, an illusion, a resemblance, hence a representative figure, especially an idol. And it gives you where all that came from. But the idea there is that when you look at man in his original created state, he resembled the Father. He looks like God. He was created in the image of God. And as he was created in the image of God, again, he was given all power and authority over creation. We'll see that he lost all of that when he fell from God. And this passage then states that man was created in God's image. Adam's offspring was in his own image. So when Adam joined together with Eve, they gave an offspring that looked like him. Thus it looked like God. Until Adam, of course, fell. It referred often to idols as images. And, of course, their worship was to be prohibited. Likeness is a synonym of image and means a resemblance or similitude. Man is not to cover his head when praying, because he is the image and the glory of God. When we we're not to curse man because he is made after the similitude of God. So when God tells us that when we look at our fellow man, we're not to curse him because he's made in the image of God. Now, those of us who are children of God, we should never, ever speak ill of a brother in Christ. But what if that brother is weak? And what if that brother is saying bad things about us? How should we act? Huh? No. Even if a brother is weak and he allows Satan to use him in cursing us, we need to turn around and shower him with blessings. Otherwise, you get in a fight, don't you? Otherwise, you divide the church. Otherwise, you hate one another. And God says, if you love me, you love your fellow man. So we don't have a choice, church. I make it my goal to love my brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't have a choice. It's not right ever to hate your brother. I don't care what he does. I don't care what he has done. It's never right to hate him. It's never right to not forgive him when he sins against us. The Bible says forgive him 70 times 7 a day. So you need to love one another. And when we're weak and we fail one another, we need to keep on loving one another. The church is a sick place. It's filled with people who sin, and it's filled with people who fall short of the glory of God. And we need to let the world know that we're sinners, and we need to let the world know that we are not perfect people, and we're not the goody two-shoes that some claim to be. We are sinners who are in a hospital called the church, who are being healed daily by the power of Jesus. Amen? Jesus is our great physician. Rosemary? Yes.
Every human being is made in the image of God.
Absolutely.
So it's not just brothers, and sometimes we forget it's the person strung out on drugs, it's the Muslim, the terrorists, everybody is made in the image of God.
Amen, brother.
You know, so
amen. Yep.
We have no reason to look down on anybody for any reason because we're all made in the image of God.
That's right, exactly. And you cannot hate your brother and love God, can you? You can't do it. And you can't hate mankind. And that's why we say when you look at a man, was down. You never look down on a man except to lift him up. Amen? And when you have done me wrong, you've done that for one reason, and that's because Satan has got a handle on your life. And so when I look at you and I understand myself, how I'm created and how I'm made, I understand myself, and I see you cursing me, I can only have pity on you. I can only show mercy toward you. And I can reach down and try to lift you up. What you don't need me to do, when you're weak and when you find reason to gossip about me or to curse me, what I don't need to do is turn around and curse you. Return evil for evil. But rather what I need to do is reach down to lift you up and keep on loving you. And I want you to know that I love you. And I don't care how you've ever felt about me or anything you've ever said about me. I love you. And that will never stop until the day I die. And then I'll love you from heaven. I'm not afraid to die. Heaven's going to be a glorious, glorious place. But I do long to stay here. Because I do love you. And I love that wife of mine so much. I just can't hardly stand the thoughts of ever having to be separated from her. I told somebody recently, the most negative thing about heaven is that I won't get to be married to Rosemary. She'll meet me there one day and our relationship there will be better. I don't know how that can ever be, but it'll be better. And I want to say, if you're fortunate enough to still have your mate, then you need to do absolutely everything you can do to love her in every way that she needs, and vice versa. You need to just love one another. Rosemary and I don't fight with one another. We don't argue with one another. We long to see one another. And I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I look forward to her getting up when she does so I can just see her and be with her. I mean it. I love her. I love her. Like I love Jesus, I love her. And I love you too, every one of you. All right. Yes, brother.
You said the problem with heaven is you're not going to get to be married to her. The good news is you're going to love her more in heaven than you love her now.
That's good news.
She's going to love you more in heaven than she does now.
And that's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, but in heaven, there's no exclusive relationships.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But in heaven, if you want to love my wife, it's just fine.
Yeah.
So there's no exclusive relationships in heaven, but there are deeper relationships because there's no temptation to sin. No temptation to be selfish.
And not only...
You're going to love her better than you ever loved her.
Not only will I love her better than I've ever loved her with a perfect love, but I'll love you, brother. Like I love her. And you'll love me back. That love that we lost in becoming sinful beings, we will reclaim. And our goal now, as Christians, is to reclaim that now, here. And love is the greatest thing we have as we live on this earth. And that's what God is trying to call us back to. He's calling us back to loving one another. As long as Adam and Eve were in the garden loving one another, they had a perfect love. It wasn't until they sinned that their love began to fail. So we need to keep on loving one another. In conclusion, the image of God does not mean that man was created to look like God, because God is a spirit. However, man is in the image of God in the sense that he was created as God's representative to rule and to exercise dominion over all the earth and its creatures. So God, as he rules over the birds and the fish and the animals and over all of that, he is representing God in doing that. And of course, in the original state of man, animals did not even fear man. They came by man, and man gave every animal its name, and the animals, including the lions, the tigers, the elephants, and the most vicious of animals today, were in fellowship with mankind then. But when man sinned, God put fear in the animals and they ran for their lives, because they were given to man even to eat if they needed to eat them. So God put fear of man in all creatures. And sometimes man is in his sinful state is very cruel to animals, and that's not right. Oh, don't get me wrong, it's okay to hunt animals. It's okay to eat animals. God gave them to us for food. But it's not okay to be cruel for animals. I watch some of these hunting shows, and some of the primitive people, when they hunt and they kill an animal, they would get down and thank that animal. And they would thank God on their knees for that animal. That's pretty good, isn't it? There's too many people that hunt today for pleasure. All right.
That will revert back when you get to heaven. The lion will lay down
the lamb. Yeah. Yeah. That's good, isn't it? The image of God includes intellect and rational ability, such as to exercise dominion and to carry out responsibilities. And this is evident with respect to man's ability to understand and interpret God's revelation from His Word. And so God has created us in a way that we can grasp who He is. And it created us in a way that we have a rational ability to rule over all of His creation. In man's fall, he lost all of that and began to be an evil, cruel, cruel person. And in man's fallen image, he hurts animals, he hurts his fellow man, he kills and hurts even the pleasurable earth that he was given to rule over. Even to the point that the Bible tells us in Romans 8 that the earth groans. We've hurt the inhabitant of the earth. We've hurt one another. And God calls us come. Greatest command. Love God. Love one another like you love yourself. It's the kind of church I want to be part of. Guess what? That's why I came to this church. I knew what it was like before I left here. And I came here. And I feel like while I was here, I loved the church very, very much. When I left the church here, I loved the church. I just felt a calling to another place. And I thank God every day that He's brought us back to Circleville. So I want you to bless one another every day. I pray for all of you every day. I thank God for you. The image of God, it included a spiritual dimension in which man could worship and have fellowship with the Creator. This is especially true when man became spiritually alive in Christ through the Holy Spirit. Now get what it says here. When God created us, He created us in a spiritual dimension in which man could worship and have fellowship with his Creator. The Bible says that God walked with Adam. He spoke to him like you and I speak to one another. We lost that when we sinned against God, didn't we? Because we died. The church is a place to where we can talk to God. Because we are restored to the image that we had in the Garden of Eden. We are restored. And God speaks to us. Now, I know that oftentimes we want to say, well, God doesn't speak to you. He only speaks to you through His Word. I don't believe that. I believe He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. I believe that He speaks to us. And in many, many different ways. And sometimes people say, well, I heard God speaking. I'm okay with that. Because God is my Father, and I don't have a father who doesn't speak to me. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Have a God who is my Father who hears me, and when He hears me, He talks back to me. He guides me. He leads me. He loves me with all of His heart. And I love Him with all of my heart. And because of that, the church who understands love loves one another. The greatest place to be, the greatest place to be, is in the body of Christ. When your mates fail you, when your family fails you, give them a break, a big break, and love them. Love them, love them, love them. Love them like you love yourself. And those of you who are married, you need to love your wife even to the point of dying for her. And Rosemary and I have always felt that way. We've had such an enjoyable life together that I would like to live with her forever. And somebody said, there's no convenient point to ever die in this life if you have somebody who loves you. And so if I live to be 100, it wouldn't be good to die because I wouldn't want to leave Rosemary or the church, because I know how you love me. And you know what? We need to tell one another that frequently. We need to say it out loud. I love you, brother. I need to say it out loud. I say it out loud every day to Rosemary. And she says it out loud every day to me. Every day. And it's sweet. It doesn't get any better than that. Like our wonderful preacher says, we marry up. He always says that we've married up, and we've done well. And the Bible says that our wives are a gift from God. And our children are a gift from God. We don't have perfect wives, but they're perfect in Christ. And we're not perfect. So when a wife does me wrong, I forgive her. I forgive her. I've always believed, and I believe this with all of my heart, if Rosemary was ever unfaithful to me, I wouldn't give her up. I'd love her. I'd love her more. It wouldn't be easy, but I'd keep on loving her. And I'd love her until she loved me back. Had a friend that was a homosexual, and he married this woman, but he fell back into homosexuality and would go out every night, and his wife gave a testimony, and she said when he came home, I loved him more. I made love to him more. knowing what he was doing, I kept on loving him. And because I loved him that way, he finally overcame and made a great husband. That love is a love built in the image of God. Because most of us are weak and we would kick them to the curb. Most of us do that when our husbands or wives are unfaithful to us. But those who are like God forgive and hang on the best they can. Now, on the same hand, those who can't manage to hang on, we forgive them. And we go on. The Bible does give a man and a woman a right to divorce if their mate is unfaithful to them. But he doesn't encourage us to divorce them. And I love what a church does, that when divorce happens in a family, they ask that family to stay together, stay married for a year, and they counsel with them for a year, both of them. And many times when that year is over, victory is theirs. They come together and they love one another even more at that point. So God bless them for that. It included God's communicable attributes and a moral conscience to distinguish and to choose between good and evil. And so being created in God's image gives us that ability to communicate the attributes and the moral conscience and to know the difference between good and evil. That's why when we go to sin, we know it's wrong. And that's why we fall under conviction of the Holy Spirit. In summary, God created man in his own image to be spiritual, moral, intellectual, volitional, and emotional representative of himself. Is it okay when you bow down to worship God and when you come together to worship God, is it okay to get emotional? Is it okay to cry? Is it okay to shout? Is it okay to dance? Is it okay to lift your hands? God said it's free to worship. And to worship means to kiss toward God. I love him so much, I kiss him. I love Rosemary so much, I want to kiss her all the time. I love you so much. It's okay for you to give me a holy kiss. And for me to kiss you. our tailor loves me so much. He hugs me and kisses me all the time. I love it. I love it when you hug me. And I love it when you give me the freedom to love you and hug you back. It's good, isn't it?
Amen.
We're family. We're like God. And we can't wait to love one another. So we do everything in our power to stay together and to love one another. And our family that chose to leave this family and go to another location and they're worshiping somewhere else, our attitude toward them needs to be what? We need to love them. Every one of them. That's my prayers, that one day we will get together and bless them, and them bless us, and that we will reunite in spirit and we'll be able to fellowship together as brothers and sisters. Amen? We don't hate them. We love them. And love will bring them back to us. And love will bring us to them. And we'll be able to sing together. We'll be able to go up there and have worship together with them. And they'll be able to do the same with us. Why? Because we're like Jesus. Amen. The immaterial aspect of man. Biblical dichotomy, and dichotomy means to cut in two parts. The belief that man's immaterial aspect is makeup consists of two parts, the body and the soul. Is it time to quit?
No, I didn't know if that was another title like you had at the beginning of this one.
Yeah. Did it? Oh, 15 minutes ago. Well, why didn't somebody speak up? You couldn't speak up because you love me so much. Thank you, Jack, for pointing that out. Let's have a prayer. So that means your bottom's hurting now, Jack. Let me bless you in prayer. God, you're so good to us. Thank you for letting us be your children. We know we're adopted, and we know we share in the inheritance of Jesus. Just let us mean it, God, when we say that we love one another and we love you. Please let us be a church that loves and treats one another like you treat us. Bless us, God. Bless my brothers and sisters. Give us a hug every day, God. Help us to hug one another. Thank you for letting me teach. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Sorry about going over.